Hello and welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 96. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And we, as usual, have not done as much as we'd hoped.
The work week is a poor mistress for getting gaming done.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the other hand, TV watching, oh, it was good.
Well, it's easy to find, you know, for some reason it's always easier to find time to watch TV than it is to find time to play a video game, because it's harder to shut off the video game, in my opinion.
I just find that it's easier to also be planning my D&D stuff while I'm watching television.
And I can do stuff to, like, draw, or this past week sew. So I had to do that one hit by hand.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. That's just the nature of the pants. So, you know, we're multitasking, in a way.
But Zelda Queen and I discovered that the British television series Sherlock is now available on Netflix, at least the first season. And it is brilliant.
It is very fun to watch. It's only 3 episodes long, but each episode is an hour and a half. So it's like getting a mini movie each episode. I don't know the guy, really, who plays Sherlock Holmes. But the guy who plays Dr. John Watson is Martin Freeman, also known as Arthur Dent in the newer Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, American version, I guess I could say, Hollywood version, and is playing Bilbo Baggins in the new Hobbit films. So that's where you might know him from. So yeah, as you guessed from the names, Sherlock is based off of Arthur Doyle's Sherlock Holmes series, but...
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Well, Arthur Doyle is still his name. I've just left out the middle name. Woo! Any case, it's basically Sherlock Holmes planted into the 21st century. So, it's modern-day Britain. But still, some of the stories apparently are basically kind of lifted from stories that were already written.
To some degree, there's some homage.
Yeah. The ideas came from, like a study in Pink was probably...
The title at least comes from the original Holmes appearances of studying Scarlet.
So yeah, it's basically modern, like, Watson's still an army doctor, but he served in Afghanistan instead. Sherlock Holmes is just an eccentric who's actually called in a lot of times by a particular police detective to sort of give his impression on cases and such. And he's, you know, like most gifted people, he's a little crazy, because he doesn't see how anybody else doesn't keep up with him.
At least in this one, it does not appear that he shoots up cocaine. He
shoots up nicotine patches instead.
Yeah, he has like 3 or so of them on his arm at a time.
Well, I guess that's better.
He's like, we're not allowed to smoke in this society anymore, but I need the nicotine to help me think clearly. And, like, and he literally is, like, doing, like, a junkie where he puts the patches on his arm and, like, holds down his veins so, like, he builds it up to release it. And Watson's like, what are you doing? He's like, it's a 3 nicotine patch thought, you know. So there's, a little bit of weirdness, but they were fun to watch. I thoroughly enjoyed them. I wish there was more, and, of course, the last episode is a total cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Well,
in this series, it appears that Moriarty has been replaced with Sheldon from Big Bang Theory.
It's this tiny weird guy who has a really weird voice. His voice is odd.
Yeah, I mean, he's just like, okay, goodbye now! It's very weird.
But if you have Netflix, watch it. At least for us, it popped in the very first part of the line saying, for new arrivals. It is awesome. Even Calcifer approves. It's Calcifer approved.
Meow. Unfortunately, he will not murr on command.
No, he will not murr on command, unfortunately. He demands pets right now, so we watched Sherlock. I guess there's other animes we watched that, well, at least I watched. I watched Hell Girl.
I watched bits and pieces of it.
Disappointing is the only thing I can really say. It started off interesting because it's people who want to enact revenge against other people, call on Hell Girl at midnight through a website. And she gives them basically sort of like a reed doll and says, if you want to extract revenge, take off the red thread. If you do, you take them straight to hell, no questions asked. But in exchange, when you die, you go to hell. So you're basically getting your revenge, but you're still condemning your own self to hell. So it kind of starts off a few episodes going like that. And then there's this reporter guy who gets involved. He's trying to figure out who this Hell Girl is and all this sort of stuff. And it just, like, doesn't go anywhere. Because it's, you know, the same thing every episode. Because towards the end, the guy's always trying to stop the people, not to let them enact revenge and all this stuff. And then finally, in, like, the last episode and a half, you sort of learn about Hellgirl's background, but nothing changes. Like, there's no revelation, there's just really nothing. It's very disappointing. I say don't bother watching it.
Anticlimactic?
Very anticlimactic. I know some anime suffer from really bad endings, and this one is...
No different.
So, and it wasn't as creepy as I thought it was going to be, for considering it's a revenge thing. When they send people to hell, they reenact crazy things. And I'm like, what if somebody repents? What if somebody isn't good? I mean, there has to be other loopholes, I feel, but nothing's ever discussed. So I don't know. Don't know. And we also finished Soul Eater a long time ago. I don't even know if we talked about that.
We did.
Did we?
I think you guys did. It? Yeah.
It was entertaining. I think it went a little long, but it was entertaining. I don't think I have anything more else to say on that.
Okay. Well, all I've really done this week is I've been rewatching Farscape from season 1 forward. I'm on early part of season 3. I think I'm like on episode 4 of season 3 right now.
I never watched Farscape, so...
It's a good series. All 4 seasons and the Peacekeeper Wars are on Netflix. For those of you who don't know, Farscape was a series that ran for about 4 seasons long about a human that was, while trying to do a slingshot maneuver, ended up going into a wormhole and got thrown to the far end of the galaxy, where he ends up in the middle of 3 prisoners trying to escape what are called the Peacekeepers. They've basically been in prison for one reason or another, most of them unjustly, I believe, aboard a living ship called Moya. So they escape, and now it's basically about him trying to come to terms with where he is and trying to find out how to get home. Overall, the entire series was very well received, but the way season 4 ended pissed off every single fan of the show because it was a very poor ending. So that's why they created the movie Peacekeeper Wars, was in order to wrap everything up and actually give fans of the series an actual ending. So I've been rewatching that. I like the series. It's more down to earth than a lot of sci-fi shows, I think, for, you know, as the fiction can be. You get more of a... It's more of how people would actually act. Nobody's ever all for one, one for all. Like, there's one character, he will turn on anybody if it means the best possible outcome for him. Which, usually it's not, because either they find out he's trying to do it and they stop him and that turns out a little worse for him, or he gets double-crossed by the people he was trying to sell them out to, and then that turns out poorly for him. But, yeah, it's a good series. I'm probably be through with it in, I don't know, given my rate, probably about 3 weeks to a month. And then back to watching anime.
You're not me, who's all like, I have to keep watching. I, what, 2 nights to finish Lord of the Rings? The extended versions? Yeah.
Like, what I'll do is, I have Netflix on the phone, I'll start watching a show while I'm eating lunch. I'll pause it when lunch ends, and then I'll finish it either at home or at the next lunch period, or at the next day's lunch. Nice way to kill time.
Sorry to interrupt in the middle of the podcast here, but I'm going to interject a little bit here, because we did have a special guest, Angie Chan, from Devil's Cake. So I'm going to go ahead and put in a quick interview we did with her about the upcoming Denver Comic Con. Enjoy!
So do you want to go by Angie or Angie Chan?
Angie Chan works.
Okay.
That's what I go under by...
Twitter and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I do a webcomic called Devil's Cake, and I'll be participating in a local comic convention, Denver Comic Con, and I'll be going in with another group of local artists to do a panel on how to webcomic there. So Denver Comic Con happens the weekend of June 15th, and I hope people will come out to see us.
All right, and people can follow you on at Angie Chan?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. So it's A-N-G-I-C-H-A-N.
All right.
Spelled a little funny.
You have to spell everything funny on Twitter.
Well, if you want to be individual.
And not Angie Chan 00567?
That would be the copy of me. That would be my doppelganger. Don't follow them.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you at the convention and at your panel.
Thank you.
And now back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
And then finished Legend of Zelda last night. I haven't completed it because there's a bunch of side quests I have yet to do, but I saved the princess, saved the world, all that good stuff.
Don't tell me. I know I'm at the end. It's like Wind Waker. Well, at least it's not as bad as Wind Waker. Wind Waker, I got right to Ganondorf's tower, and then I was very upset because I'm like, this is it? This is a very short game. And then I didn't finish it. It wasn't until we were actually in New Zealand that I finished the game. I bought it when it first came out, played it all the way through to there, and didn't finish it. Well, I finished it a decade later.
Nice. And I think a lot of the length in Wind Waker was traveling.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I liked the game. The final few boss fights did feel kind of epic. However, the thing that, there are two things I didn't like about the game. Your first three fights with Demise annoyed me, and I don't like the Spirit Realms, because I don't like the idea of a one-hit-you-fail rule.
It's going to test how I got better. The first time, nothing. The second time, only once. Third time, it was twice because it was the mountain one. And then the last one, no problems at all again.
I almost lost the last one. I was getting the last piece, and a Poe caught me, and the last piece, of course, was right at the foot of one of the things. So I was like, okay, finish climbing ladder. Get it! I'm safe. I just have to jump off this and land in the center thing.
I saved that one for last two purposely, so I'm like, I'm really close to the circle, so if something happens, I should be able to make it.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought. It's like, I know there's going to be one up there. I can't see it right now, but I know it's up there. So I'm just going to wait, come back, and do this one last. I almost stepped in some waking water, too, one time.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to walk this. Oh, crap. Back up. Okay, I'm safe. I didn't step in it. Okay. Wait for it to go down, walk across, okay, we're good.
Yeah, I like to be tricky.
But I liked the game. As I said, final boss fights were nice and epic. They put in an explanation for all future games in there and why it's always the same three people.
Speaking of which, I don't know if anybody's heard, in Japan they released the Hyrulean Historia, which is basically art design, background information, like, you know, character background design, all this stuff that's for the whole Legend of Zelda series since they started, and it actually has the official timeline in it.
Nice. Which canonizes not only a split timeline, but a three-way split timeline.
I think I've actually seen that.
Yeah.
It's nice to at least have an official timeline.
Yeah, it's been there's a few sites. Zelda Dungeon has a lot of pages that they've had translated and such. I just kind of went the book, because I'm like, ooh, art! But that's just me. I wish they would release it in the States, though, because then I could have it translated, and I know what the heck's going on in it, but no. So yeah, I was like, three? It's bad enough thinking that there's two, but three? I did get somebody's comment saying that it felt like the first games, when they didn't really know what they were doing quite yet with the series, because they didn't, I don't think they were imagining, oh, Legend of Zelda, 25 years, you know, X many number of games later sort of thing, so it kind of shoehorned, like, Legend of Zelda, Zelda 2, and some other things kind of over in this weird category.
Well, the very first game, it's hard to tell, it's like, okay, you're this person, and I don't know why, but I'm going to go fight this guy. I don't know why, but apparently I'm going to him.
You have to
read the instruction manual. It's in there.
Yeah, instruction booklet.
Any copies of the game I ever had, I never had the instruction manual.
Okay.
Oh, because it sets it up. It's like, you know, Link runs into Impa, and Impa says, you know, the princess has been kidnapped by Ganon. But before she was kidnapped, she broke up the Triforce and spread it around the land. Yeah.
She only has part of the Triforce. She broke up the Triforce of Wisdom to 8 parts, because Link is a wandering soldier from another land. He is not a Hylinean, per se.
When I first played it, I've never actually bought the original Zelda. I have a copy of it that was given to me. When I was a kid, I played it on a friend's NES, so I never actually bought it, so therefore I never actually read the instruction book.
It was one of the first games we bought. My dad played it more than us, because I was 5 or 6 years old, so...
But yeah, I know, that was the days when instruction manuals had to have the information, because the game cartridges did not have enough memory for them to put the whole entire story on there.
I miss those days. I really love instruction booklet art and what's in the instruction booklets. I just doodle from them all the time.
And now it's awesome. Like, they're maybe 4 pages.
I'm always so disappointed. I'm like, they're black and white, just barely covers, you know, game usage, and that's it. And I'm like, it just makes me sad. It's like a whole era gone. It's like movie posters not being drawn anymore. I mean, gone, sad.
Anywho, but yeah, I liked the game.
I gotta finish it. I just kind of been dragging my feet on finishing it. It just makes me sad.
And they do give you a little bonus. Once you finish it, then you can restart the game over in a more difficult mode they call Hero Mode.
Ooh.
So, what I would do actually if I were you is I would copy your existing game file, then beat it. That way you can save it with the beat thing that goes in Hero Mode, and you still have your one where you're doing your other stuff.
I guess that one guy file is disappearing now.
Apparently that one guy does not like the idea of his file disappearing.
He has to get it out himself, so...
Oh, he doesn't need the file here if he has his own copy.
And he only played like half an hour.
No, no, he played like 2 hours into it.
That's, what, halfway through the first one?
It's like, I have a sword, and that's about it.
Anywho, but, yeah, and then you said you were playing Rune Factory?
Rune Factory 3 for the DS. I think I finally have found the Harvest Moon hybrid that I've always wanted. I like farming a lot, like in the original Harvest Moon. This one has a lot of farming, but it's better than the first Rune Factory in that you don't have to keep going to every single dungeon and tending to your crops all day because it takes freaking forever. This one, the dungeons are kind of just like open world area, so you don't have to go there and plant plants, also because your rune points don't deteriorate quite as fast. So you can go longer. It's awesome.
You still managed to knock yourself out several times.
Well,
crafting.
That's mostly because I'm crafting and I'm not paying attention to the bar, because the bar's on the upper left corner of the top screen, and I'm looking at the bottom right screen to see what I'm making a lot, and I kind of forget to check. And this one's not as forgiving if you run out of rune points. Like, in the other ones, you use your HP, but it docks about the same amount. Now, this one takes half of your hit points every time, so...
Ouch.
I have like 1,000 hit points. I go over, it goes down to like 500 or 400 and something.
Ouch.
Yeah, so...
So you've killed yourself doing it?
I've knocked myself out, yes.
You really can't die.
You're not really dying, per se. You're just being knocked unconscious. And then you wake up in the apothecary, and the woman's like, "You're lucky! You should take more care! I'm gonna take 2,500 gold now from you!" It's like, okay. Everything's a lot more expensive in this game. But then there's a good...
Obviously, your character doesn't have health insurance.
No, obviously not. Talking with, like, the townspeople is a lot more interesting in this one. The other thing that's beneficial is they have a map, and it shows the people as they're moving across the map where they are. So if somebody says, "Oh, you should go talk to so-and-so," you're like, "Well, where are they?" Because you don't, because their schedules sometimes make them go funny places, but now you can see them on the map. So you can just go right to them. And... It's challenging. I'm only in fall. I'm trying to get through the fall, like, dungeon zone right now. It's kind of hard because I have to switch between weapons. Because there's water and wind things, and I have a water and wind sword. Because they're the most powerful things. So I have to switch between whatever I'm fighting. It's kind of annoying, but...
So is it that thing is immune to that to the same thing?
Like, the fish are immune to the frost swords because it's water-based. But then the... monster portal that the things come out sometimes are a lot of times wind-based, so they're, you know, more immune to the wind swords that I got. Yeah, all sorts of fun right now, because I need a more powerful weapon, but I haven't gotten one yet. Oh, and I'm already in love with somebody completely. I have her at 10 hearts, but I don't know how to propose in this game. I don't know how to get married. I'm like, maybe I have to buy the double bed, and maybe then I can propose, because right now I have no place for my wife to live. With 150,000 gold, they get the double bed.
Some expensive bed.
Yes!
What's that bed's made out of that gold?
I don't want a bed made out of gold, because it's too soft, and it might just, you know, bend and sag over time.
True. Gold-plated?
I don't... this is weird. I have enough money now, so we're going to see what happens. But I'm having fun. I'm having a lot of fun. And it's portable, so that's great, too. And I've had to recharge my Game Boy like 3 or 4 times in the past 2 weeks.
Nice.
So that's what I've been playing instead of Zelda. And I have, like, Harvest Moon, A Tale of Two Cities, and Harvest Moon Animal Parade to play, too. I think everybody sees a theme that I get for Christmas.
Well, I know, since I've completed Zelda, now I've rented, Saints Row the Third from Gamefly, so now I can actually start on that.
I've been told it takes the Mickey out of everything, so it's supposed to be humorous. Enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Is it's a hilarious game that when it initially started, it was a GTA copy, and now they've kind of made their own thing because of how satirical they are about their own stuff.
Which is good. Good to see them branch out.
Let's see. Play a little bit of Skyrim. Not very much.
Finally installed War of the North and played a few minutes of that, and about my week. It's like, first impression, it's okay.
I was playing Skyrim a bit today, too. I like the wall of fire that I can put down. It's like wall of fire, just walking backwards, laying it on the ground, watch the enemy train walk towards me and die halfway to me.
So I just ended up, I was like, okay, I am going to go, you know, I was like, what level was I? Like, am I like 6 or something? And I'm like, okay, it's time to go to the Mage College. At level 6. And I'm like, I died like 5 times trying to get there.
You know what you could have done? You could have gone to the first city, talked to the dude with the carriage, and paid him to take you there.
It costs money.
It's like 50 gold.
I like how you like to check everybody from afar, while he likes to punch everybody with his super fists.
It's like one of my coworkers, he's in, you know, he's in a almost overpowered mode, because he's a destruction mage. And so he has the ability, when he casts two-handed, it knocks people, but it stuns them for a little bit. And he has 4 items enchanted each, 25% less, 25% reduced cost for destruction magic. So his attack spells cost no magic whatsoever.
I find that a little imbalanced.
Like, he just is like, I just attack, it gets stunned, it never has a chance to attack me.
Wow.
Fortunately in this game, you don't have to worry much about, as much about balance, since you don't have to worry about other players.
This
you
is
get
true.
To feel like an all-powerful badass.
Okay.
It is a good thing. But yeah, so, I don't really have a whole lot else right now. You guys?
Nope.
Okay. Oh yes, the Fable 3 contest. We did have a winner.
Hooray! Somebody posted?
3 people posted.
Awesome!
That is 3 times the amount of people from the last contest.
Because last contest was 1 person. Woo!
So yeah, his game was shipped out yesterday. That would have been Saturday the 14th. So yeah, he should be receiving it shortly. Notwithstanding holidays.
Yeah. No mail. Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
But yeah, despite the lackluster turnout, since there's actually now 300 people on the Facebook page, this will not be the last contest. I will do more in the future.
I have stuff.
I have 3 months of Xbox Live still to give away.
I have random anime figures that I don't want.
So see, people, we will be giving away more stuff, so pay attention to both the podcast and the Facebook page. And once I get more than, like, 14 people following the Game Slave on Twitter, I'm on Twitter, too. Anywho, so y'all have a great week, and game on.
Game on.
Game on.